Meditation, if we could turn together the Gospel of Matthew. I'd like to meditate on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Wish to read the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That's the extent of the reading of Scripture this morning. Let us all bow to our Lord in prayer. The temptation of Jesus Christ by Satan occurs mostly in the Gospel of Matthew and in Luke, both fourth chapters. And Mark devotes one verse to it in the first chapter, saying that Jesus was in the wilderness with wild beasts. So let's set the stage and the setting of this account that took place. Jesus Christ was baptized at 30 years old. Fresh off of that experience, the audacity and the boldness of Satan came to him. We talked a little while ago, a few Sundays back, about Satan approaching God and his boldness and his audacity to approach the Creator God himself. And in these three temptations that Satan tempts Jesus with, I believe I see there's areas in my life that I have a proclivity to fall and to stumble. And these three areas, we all can put ourselves in each one of these potential temptations. So truly as a mirror this morning, we'd like to really go through each one of these temptations that Satan presents to Jesus. And the beauty and the victory that he's able to achieve it. At his most time of need, after fasting for 40 days. I know sometimes if any of us miss a meal, we get a little hangry. And the only way to satisfy that hunger, that fleshly desire, is to have a meal. So Satan takes advantage of Jesus' weak point here, trying to catch him at a time where he is in great need of just simple food. In the first verse, it says that the Spirit led Jesus up to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Luke says that he was tempted during that whole duration of the 40 days. And can we imagine that level of stress and anxiety and what he needed to do to rest on God and God's word to overcome? Because we believe that Jesus was perfect in the sense that he was sinless and he didn't yield to this temptation. And the first temptation that Satan presents Jesus with is the lust of the flesh. You know, it's not wrong for us to pray for God to meet our daily needs. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But here Satan is looking and asking Jesus Christ to turn rocks into bread. And his response is beautiful, isn't it? He says, man shall not live by bread alone. And if any one of you or me would have that power, if you can imagine to turn rocks into bread, I know that I would end up abusing it, wouldn't I? And I'd be able to do and give myself all of the lust of the flesh that I could. Why? Because maybe I don't have a mind or a desire or the faith to say, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by the lust and the desires of his heart. The world is telling you to follow your heart. The world is telling you to do what feels good. But Jesus Christ is here, and in this example, he's saying, I know you feel hungry, and I know you want food. But obedience is better than sacrifice. And to obey a request of Satan is the height of danger. There's a spiritual song, a hymn, if you will. It goes like this. Seems every time that we go to his throne in prayer, we bring petitions, but forget our song, asking questions like, Lord, how? Or why? Or maybe we just complain about how hard we've tried. But if he were to ask us once this time, this might be the question on his mind. And this song is a beautiful song that is calling us to a higher calling of when we pray and when we ask God for our needs. The chorus goes like this. Don't you think you ought to worship me? Don't you think you ought to take some time? With your hands up in the air, offer more than just a prayer and give me what is rightly mine. Jesus Christ knew that at that time his feelings were his own, but his life was God's. On his mission, he knew that just to turn that rock into bread would satisfy him for a season, but he would get hungry again. And sometimes we pray and we ask for God to maybe take away a mountain or to provide us a specific request or help in this area or help me solve my relationships. But maybe God is asking for us and saying, where are you going to worship me? See, God's not a spiritual vending machine. Yeah, he wants to know our wants, our needs. He wants a relationship. But above that, he wants your life. He wants my life. He wants my life in worship. And that's why we're going to talk a little bit about worship here. When Satan asks Jesus to bow down and worship him, that's a full submission. That's a full surrender he's asking Jesus to do. But the example, Jesus Christ is our example, is so beautiful here that he resists his feelings, how he feels. Brother Louis said it was so wonderfully in the prayer, how easily we end up falling into temptation. How so easily we end up submitting to how we feel and forgetting spiritual truths. Or maybe veering off the path of righteousness that God calls us. You know, we really aren't much different than sheep, aren't we? Easily distracted. I know sometimes I feel like I have the attention span of a gnat, gone from one to another. And that's what His Word brings us focus. And when we go into those moments, when we feel those times of temptation, Jesus Christ's example is for us to go back to the Word. Go back to what God said. Why? Because our feelings are fleeting. We feel one way one day, another day we feel the next. We like a person the next day because they do something nice to us, and then the day after that, we can't stand the sight of them. Jesus is calling us to a higher standard. Satan's not done with him yet. He says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 91. Satan quotes Psalm 91 here in verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So basically, because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation, declaring that God is his refuge and Most High, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan's quoting scripture to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. But because Jesus Christ has fasted for 40 days, because he has been in holy communion with his God. Let's talk a little bit about fasting. You know, sometimes we wonder why we ask God a question, or we wonder why something's not going our way, or why we maybe don't feel his closeness. Right? My brother and sister, I've felt that before too. Throughout your life, I've been baptized over 20 years. And there's times, some of you longer, and there's times where I feel God may be distant. It's time to fast. It's time to get close to the Lord. It's time to put away the daily bread. And it's time to focus on His Word. And to enrich your relationship with Jesus. Start with a day or two. But it's a way to show that, Lord, I know you're bigger than my daily needs. Lord, I know you're bigger than my wants and my desires. And I'm going to give those to you. And I'm not just going to not do it. But he's calling us to sacrifice that. Use the example of Jesus. He's calling us to sacrifice those daily needs and rest on Him in study, in prayer, and in meditation. You see, fasting isn't just a ceasing of something that we do regularly. Fasting is a drawing close to God during that period of time We're sacrificing those daily needs and giving them over to the Lord. And so it's in those times that we grow in our relationship with Jesus. When we fast and we're closer to Him, where we can decipher right and wrong. Similar to how a banker tells a counterfeit dollar bill, by studying the original. And when a font is a little off, or when the edges are a little hazy, something doesn't look right. And here, even when Scripture is quoted to fulfill a prideful being, fulfill the wants and the will of a prideful being such as Satan, my brother and sister, we have the example here that we can identify the false teaching. The second temptation is the temptation of Jesus' will, of His desire. Right? If you jump down, your will, that's something that you want to do, God will take care of you lest you dash thy foot against a stone. You know, I wonder how many times that we tempt God in that way. You know, is there ever a time in your life, I could think about in mine, where you look back and you expect God to take care of you in a certain place where you should have been there? You look to satisfy, we look to satisfy our own flesh. And in the end, we say, Lord, can you help me? You know, you got three drinks lined up in front of you. And you say, Lord, help me stop falling into temptation. After four beers, you're like, Lord, help me stop falling into temptation. How many of us walk into that temptation and then ask God and say, how did I get here? Lord, save me from this temptation. Jesus is saying, don't tempt the Lord thy God. My brother and sister, give your browser history to the Lord. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't walk towards temptation. Don't make one step towards temptation. And the ultimate tempting of God is my soul outside of Christ. How long will you tempt Him? How long will you wait? How long will you say, when I graduate high school, then when I graduate college, I'll give my life over to the Lord once I'm older. Once I have a job, once I have a career, once I'm more established. You're looking to establish yourself instead of asking God to establish your steps. Don't tempt Him. Don't tempt Him with your life. Because right now it's a temptation of God, is it not? It's your resistance of His grace, His mercy, His sacrifice that you're saying, no, not yet. Today it's a temptation. But as we heard in the prayer, Brother Louis said, tomorrow it's judgment. There's no going back. There's no going back. There's no I'm sorry's. There's no I'll do it tomorrow. There's no more gospel messages from this pulpit. There's no more songs singing on the radio, spiritual songs. There's no Saturday night singing. There's no Sunday evening singing. There's no singing after singing. There's nothing left. It's too late. What are you waiting for, my soul outside of Christ? You're not just tempting me. Who am I? You're not tempting your parents. You're tempting the creator of the earth. You're tempting the one who knows you by name. And you're tempting the one who gave everything for you. Yet you say tomorrow. Yet you say not today. The ultimate temptation of God. In Satan's third request of Jesus, he takes him to a high peak. In verse 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. Let's say it's Mount Everest. You could see everything from there. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Luke adds that Satan showed Jesus the glory of all the kingdoms in a moment. In one moment, Satan shows Jesus all the dynasties of China and Rome and Greece and every kingdom that you can imagine and the glory of it. The Babylonian Empire and the greatness of that kingdom. And he says, if you fall down to worship me, I will give you everything. All of this is yours, he says. And that third temptation is the pride of life. We all look to see what we can grasp. The world tells us and society tells us just to grab as much as you can while you're here. While you have breath in your lungs, get as much as you can. And here, Satan petitions him the same. He says, Jesus, you bow down and you worship me, and I'll give all this to you. Jesus knew the implications of obeying that request. And he said, get thee hence, get thee behind me. For it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When we are presented with a temptation, because we're going to be presented with temptations, is our response that Satan would get behind us, that we would tell him to get behind us. In and of ourselves, our own power, we are nothing against his darts. Against Satan's power, we are nothing. The only way we can make that statement is if we have the power of the Spirit inside of us. That's the only way you're going to be successful. For Satan to actually get behind you and for us to be victorious is because that power of the Spirit, that spiritual power, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that promise, that now that's a promise. And that promise tells us that we have the power to be victorious over our adversary. And once he leaves, you know, it's the darkest part in the morning feels so long. If you ever stayed up all night. But what joy comes when the sunrise, isn't it? When that sun peeks over the horizon, camping can tell us a lot. Being in the wilderness, right? Mark tells us that when Jesus was in the wilderness, there was wild beasts. Camping is similar to that. And when you're scared at night, and when the wild beasts are surrounding you, know that if you're resting on Him, if you're focused on the Word, if you're resting on the truths, that man shall not live by bread alone, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God and Him only shalt thou serve, when that dawn comes, it follows joy. And through Jesus' trial here, this temptation trial, what do we see after He's victorious? Through the power of the Spirit, then the devil leaveth Him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Him. That washing, that refreshing, the refreshing ministering of even angels that came and were a balm to Jesus and ministered unto Him. First John talks about what we just discussed here. First John 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and here we go, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, which would be the will, and the pride of life, is not all these is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In conclusion, don't you see that every temptation that Jesus was presented with was a fleeting moment? Nothing that He was presented with was something that would last. Bread, He would be hungry again. His will, are we ever satisfied? Every time we're looking for one satisfaction, that's never enough. We're looking for the next thing to satisfy us. And glory, honor, and kingdoms of this world He was lastly tempted with. How many kingdoms are still standing? How many men are still around for them to witness our glory to them, of their greatness, of their reign, of their rule? They're all gone. My brother and sister, every temptation that Satan comes to us with is a temptation that will only last a moment. He can't provide anything of long-lasting fortitude, strength, or foundation. Nothing can hold a candle to what God provides us. As far as establishing truth, as far as establishing a relationship that would last and that will last to eternity. So this morning, my friend outside of Christ, tempt Him no longer. Fall on your knees and in full surrender, give Him your all in worship, not just asking petitions, but in true life-giving worship, that He would indwell in you and you then would bring fruits meet for repentance, that you would find and have the tools that we read in here in the temptation to battle this enemy, the enemy of your soul that just looking for your destruction and not for your good. Even though that temptation feels good, it's not for your good. Because our feelings will fail us. And the only thing that we can truly rely on is this gospel of Jesus Christ. The truths here in Scripture that many men, many empires, as Christ was tempted with, have tried to extinguish this gospel, have tried to exterminate even this book that we hold in our hand. But do you think it's a coincidence that it's still around? Do you think it's a mystery that the Bible has stood the test of time? It's no mystery. It's providence. Because even Gamaliel said, if it's not of God, it'll pass away. But if it is, not even you'll be able to stop it. The gates of hell won't even be able to prevail over it. And that's the confidence we have, my brother and sister. That's the hope that you have available to you, my friend, outside of Christ, is that this salvation is not a fairy tale, but it is something that you can trust. It is something that you can rely on. It's something that you could put your faith in. But you have to make the choice. So do not delay. Come to the cross. For there are nail-pierced hands outstretched for you, awaiting your embrace. May the Lord bless the word upon our hearts. Amen.
Could Jesus have failed when he was tempted? Could he have yielded to that temptation? And we know the answer, of course, is no, absolutely not. He couldn't. So then we would say, well, then is it a temptation if you can't yield to it? And I would say that it is a greater temptation than you and I ever experience. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And in order to do that, it tells us in And it really struck me in the opening prayer before the reading where the brother led us in prayer of an emptying. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. It tells us in Philippians 2, he says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was an equal. He was God. But he made himself of no reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant, a form of a slave. It says here, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Satan came so that Jesus would fail. He came to him to fail. He didn't say go steal something, go murder someone, there was no sin, we were thinking, what he was being asked to do. We know that later Jesus did feed 5,000 and was able to make bread at a whim. He had that power. But it tells us here that Jesus was obedient. And he had to show us a way of meekness. And it tells us here that the Satan left him. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had a victory, a spiritual victory? And have you experienced Satan leaving you for a season? What is that season? Is it a year? Is it a month? It's at the very next moment and opportunity that he has to tempt you and to tempt me. That's how long he leaves us for. As soon as he has another opportunity. And so you and I need to be focused, need to be in the Word, need to be in Christ in order to ward off these temptations. Did Satan ever come to Jesus again, literally as he did here? I don't believe the Bible indicates that anywhere. We directly spoke to him, but he spoke through others. He went through the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers. He tempted him through the person that spit on him. He tempted him through the person that smote him on the face. He tempted him through the person that put the crown of thorns upon his head. He tempted him through his own disciple, Peter, when Peter said, God forbid that you would ever go through that. That was a temptation. And what did Jesus tell him? The same thing he told Satan. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan. So Satan works through people to deceive. What is Satan's mode of operation today? His attack, as it was from this moment, was upon the words that Jesus spoke to create doubt. Right now, and we see that in immediately, we see the parables that come up shortly after this, the parable of the sower and the seed. In all of the Gospels, it tells us that the one who comes to rob, to take the seed, the word, to take it away, is Satan. Satan's mode of operation today is to misquote, mislead, cause us to look at the word in all of its power and its truth, and to doubt. To doubt. When you have any doubt, you have no power. Because your faith is gone. Your salvation is by faith alone. You have no faith when you doubt who Jesus is, what his word instructs us. Are we in the will? Are we ready to be empty of ourselves, which is nothing? Jesus showed us a way of absolute obedience. And so let's cause, dear ones, and it's that misquoting that Brother Andrew read in Psalm number 91. He sent the angels, but he misquoted. He didn't finish the quote, that they would keep you in all of your ways. To keep you. That's what the angels are sent for. To strengthen. And to lead us and to keep us in our ways. The ways that we have chosen through God's help. His ways. So, brothers and sisters and dear friends, we have to remain in the Word. And we have to know that after every victory, the onslaught continues. It continues. You know, Brother Andrew mentioned about a browser. Give it to the Lord. I would say that, and I'm sure he just gave one example, but it's about everything in our life. Give your alcohol to the Lord. You know what he's going to do with it. He's going to tell you to get rid of it. And so you don't want to give it to him. You're going to hide it in the cupboard, out of reach, where it takes an effort to climb up to get to it, but it's there. Because you don't trust him, because he says get rid of it. You know what to do with your browser, but you don't want to give it to him because he knows what you're allowed to do with it. Or you know what you're allowed. But you know, it goes far even beyond all of that. I had a young person one time told me years ago, they were talking about the browser. They said, you know, if you ask me, I have victory over the browser. But it doesn't help me any. Because I still have my thoughts. And they're just as vivid as me looking at what I was pursuing in the past. It's the heart. It must be born again. It must be renewed. You must go to the cross. It's not about doing. It's not about just getting rid of something. That takes place through a change of heart. That's when it's effective. And only then. The heart must be born and renewed. Born again. A new creature must come forth. And that is the power that Jesus gives unto all. He has come to be that Savior. To be the one who defeats Satan and his angels. And to give us the power over the devil. And to live in freedom. What a joy. What a blessing. To experience that. And so let us, dear brothers and sisters, with a renewed hope, with a renewed effort, and just that's where we come, as the brother mentioned in the prayer just now. It's about being strengthened today. It's about coming together and worshiping Him, exalting His name. We only do that through a new person. So may He bless His word this morning upon each one of our hearts and give unto each one of us that desire which will take us in faith to the cross where we can be made new again. Amen.